The following is a rebroadcast of Straight Talk About Money. The market data in this rebroadcast is not current and should not be used for any financial decisions.
Okay, one of our favorite sources of information is NABE. The NABE stands for the National Association for Business Economics. You can actually go on their website. And by the way, NABE was founded in 1959, and it's a national association for those professionals who use economics in their work. They have over 2,500 members, 41 chapters, and they do three major surveys each year. And we're going to talk about one today, and we are pleased to have with us Timothy Gill. Timothy Gill is the survey chair. In addition to being the survey chair for NABE, he is a deputy chief economist with the National Electrical Manufacturers Association. And I love to have Mr. Gill on because I think that he probably has a good his association has a good pulse on really what's going on in the growth of our both manufacturing and industry in the United States. So I'd like to get his opinion on that too. So we're pleased to have Mr. Timothy Gill with us this morning. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Mike. Nice to be with you again.
Thank you so much. And I was reading your survey last night. This was a pretty positive survey.
You know, I think it is a pretty positive survey. I mean, the consensus view of the panelists is that economic growth is going to pick up next year, certainly strikingly so in comparison to both this year and last year, where growth was really subpar. The median forecast for the panelists is for real GDP to expand at 3.1% on an average annual basis. That's, you know, puts it back to its trend pace. And if that comes to pass, it'll be the highest annual GDP growth since 2005.
Yeah, because it's currently what, on a like a 2.2 or low twos pace, and that's a pretty substantial increase.
It is. It was at 2.2% last year in 2013. The current forecast of the panel is for 2.2% this year as well. That's with three quarters of the year in the books, so there could be a little variation this year, but it's going to be somewhere in that low 2% range regardless.
So you're looking for GDP to grow, and then you were also very optimistic about the labor market. Apparently, the headline in the report was the outlook for the labor market has brightened.
It has, yeah, and it's the labor market has really begun to turn around in a big way this year, and that's apparent in these numbers where we have currently a median forecast of just a shade under 230,000 net new jobs created for on a monthly basis in 2014. That's probably actually going to come in higher. We had a very strong November figure that was recently released that actually is not accounted for in these figures. And, it's a similar story for next year. Perhaps not quite as strong, but, the expectation is still for well over 210,000 or so, an upgrade from what the forecasters thought as recently as September.
So jobs are improving. Do you think that this I guess this discussion about a minimum wage, do you think that would affect job growth?
I think that it may have very minor impacts at the margins. In a lot of parts of the country, there really aren't that many workers that are actually, bound by that minimum wage. The right. Prevailing market wage is stronger. So I think in certain areas, yes, absolutely. I think, theory dictates that could harm job growth. But I think the aggregate effect on a national level is probably going to be relatively small, at least at the types of increases that we're talking about now.
Okay, but you do expect, from looking at your report, you expect hourly compensation to accelerate from a 1.1 increase in 2013 to a 3% increase this year, and then 2.6 next year. So that outpaces inflation, but it looks like you're expecting it to calm down a little bit next year.
Yeah, the forecast is for it to calm down a little bit next year. As you said, 2.6% growth next year, down from what's expected to be about a 3% gain this year. But again, though, I think, you know, the bigger story there, though, is that both of those are far in excess of the really anemic 1.1% gain in 2013. You know, so, and the you know, the effect of that is you know, pretty clear on consumer spending, better job conditions, better job prospects, and better wage growth leave more money in the pockets of consumers and are expected to rev up that that consumer spending engine to a higher degree than it has been throughout the recovery so far.
Tim, do you see job growth in your own industry? You're in the electrical equipment sector, which deals with construction, manufacturing, utilities. Do you see job growth in the in your own industry?
We have seen some job growth since the end of the recession. In our sector, we really reached a trough in 2009, had a fairly you know, decent bounce back for a while, both in terms of shipments of product as well as job creation. That has really kind of tapered off over the last several quarters. Things have been going more or less sideways, although the most recent quarter that we have data for, the third quarter, we did see quite a sizable uptick. So we're you know, we're hoping that we're kind of at the beginning of a second stage of the recovery in our sector, too. And if we see some revving up of the non-residential construction and housing markets, that that's going to give us a little bit more oomph going forward.
Okay, well, let's hope so. I noticed that, speaking of housing, that in your report, though, they did expect the pace of housing to... Was it the slowdown? They were a little less optimistic about the housing.
Yeah, they were a little bit less optimistic in housing than they have been, and that's a, you know, that's a pattern that we have seen repeated throughout the year. If we take a look at the broadest measure of housing market activity, for instance, residential investment. So that is. You know, includes not only new home construction, but also improvements and renovations and the like. Yeah, that's been the growth rate for the current year has been revised downward to only 1.7% growth from 2.7% back in September. That was as high as 9% back in March, though. So expectations early in the year were quite a bit higher, and that's been one of the areas of the economy that has been a real disappointment. Now, again, that is expected to pick up next year. Right now, the forecast is for a 7% increase. That number for 2015 has also been kind of, you know, shaved down over the course of the year as well. So, you know, still expectations for growth, but there is, you know, been increasing trepidation, I would say, on the housing side of things.
Are we in for a different kind of year next year? It seems like, particularly for the last several years, economists start out with very bullish numbers on just about everything you can think of, GDP, and then by the end of the year, though, it's always been disappointing, and they've had to come back and kind of eat some of their words and say, well, it just didn't work out the way we thought it was. Does 2015 shaping up to be a little bit better year?
Well, it sure looks to be at this point, according to the results of the survey. Now, you know, of course,
Tim, I think I don't mean to interrupt, but I asked that nice long question within 30 seconds of us being off. If you'll hold on, I'll let you answer that on the other side of the break. Folks, we've got Tim Gill with us this morning representing NABE, and you're listening to Straight Talk Money. We'll be back in just a moment.
The following is a rebroadcast of Straight Talk About Money. The market data in this rebroadcast is not current and should not be used for any financial decisions.
Timothy Gill with us. Timothy is Deputy Chief Economist with the National Electrical Manufacturers Association in Arlington, Virginia. But today he is the survey chair representing NABE. They've done recently their survey is out today regarding growth and what's going to happen in the economy. And so we're talking to Tim this morning. And Tim, before the break, which I unfortunately asked you a question within a few seconds of the break, but like to talk to you a little bit about, well, I think I want to change it around a little bit, and let's talk about inflation and oil. We were talking about that during the break. What is the outlook for inflation as far as the NABE members in this survey?
Well, the outlook for inflation is a bit more restrained than it was, you know, just back in September when the survey was last taken. So most measures that we ask them about, we ask about a range of inflation gauges, are expected to see less increase than they were back in September. So inflation, you know, have, you know, still generally running below 2%. So that could be considered certainly contained by, I think, anybody's definition. And obviously one of the reasons that those inflation forecasts are more restrained is that they reflect the large plunge in oil prices that we've seen over the last few months, and that is, still ongoing. In terms of oil prices, the median forecast for the monthly December average for the WTI spot price, it's only almost $20 a barrel lower than it was 3 months ago. And even at that, that is a December expectation of $80 a barrel. We're below 65 as of this morning, so I think that's going that's going to be a miss unless there's some dramatic change in the next 3 weeks or so. They expect it to creep up some in 2015, but you know, even that forecast is $12 a barrel lower than it was only 3 months ago.
Yeah, and you made an interesting comment during the break that we might want to share with the listeners. About OPEC being a cartel that does not have the power that it used to have, that really it really can't. I mean, it could obviously have an impact on oil prices, but it doesn't control oil prices anymore, does it?
No, that's right. It really doesn't have the teeth that it once did. Even if they were actually able to get together and act like a cartel, which apparently is quite difficult for them to do. There's so many divergent political and financial interests among all the members, but. I believe the number is four out of the five leading oil producers in the world are not OPEC members at this point. So there's an enormous amount outside of OPEC that is doing its own thing.
Wow. Yeah. So they, as I said, they can move it up a little bit if they curtail production, but they certainly can't control the prices. So that makes I think this pullback really interesting. Because it could mean that it could last a little longer. I think a lot of people out there think that it's just going to be a matter of time. It's going to be right back up again. Several people, including Boom Pickens, have predicted that we'll be back up to 100 within 12 to 18 months. Maybe not so much. You know, we may stay down here for a while. So we're looking for inflation to be relatively modest. If inflation remains modest, will there be a need for the Fed to really raise rates, because that seems to be one of the driving forces behind the raise the rates economically. And I was looking at your survey, and 76% of your panelists expect an increase in Fed funds rate to occur in the second or third quarter of next year. Is that does that line up with what you folks are thinking?
That's the case. I think given the real progress that we've been seeing in the labor market, which is the flip side of the Fed's mandate, is price stability and conditions consistent with full employment. The employment piece is improving and getting better, but the inflation also looks very good. In terms of the expectations, so perhaps, and I think that might be what is reflected in these results, perhaps there's less motivation for an interest rate increase sooner rather than later. Now, the vast majority expect it sometime next year, most of them in the second or third quarters of next year. But that balance has shifted a bit later. 46% of them now believe that the increase is going to take, the first increase is going to take place in the third quarter rather than the second, as most, or at least the most, the plurality expected back in September. And that kind of naturally leads also to a shallower upward path for the federal funds rate for that short-term interest rate target. They have it at only 75 basis points by the end of next year, compared to a little over, closer to 85 basis points back in September. The interesting thing about that is, these expectations by private forecasters are quite a bit lower than what the FOMC, the Fed's policymaking body, seems to think. When you look back to September, when they published their latest assessment of the appropriate rate, the median of FOMC members was quite a bit higher, between 1.25% and 1.5%. So it appears that there's a bit of a disconnect between private forecasters and the Fed there.
Who's usually right in that? When your history, who ends up been right most of the time? The private forecasters or the Fed's folks?
You know, I think it really depends. I don't think there's been necessarily a clear winner, so to speak, in that. Sometimes the Fed has a little bit of a better handle on it. Sometimes the consensus of the private sector does.
Well, so irregardless, we're going to get higher rates next year. At least it looks that way at this juncture, but it doesn't seem like they're going to be that much. You know, a lot of people are expecting much higher rates, but your folks are expecting a modest increase, as am I. What about overall growth around the world? How does your panel look at? Because I know you look at developed economies, and they've been going through their own little private recessions, stagnation. What is the feeling of the panelists about world growth?
Well, we asked a special question of the panel this time. We tend to focus more on the U.S. This time we asked for world growth. They expect the global economy to expand at about 3.4% in terms of real GDP next year. But some of the developed regions of the world, the European Union, for instance, expected to only expand a little over 1%, and Japan at about 1% growth as well. So, fairly weak expectations heading moving forward for the global economy, which has an impact on our export potential, of course.
Well, it looks like we're still the prettiest girl at the dance. Listen, Tim, thank you so much for being with us today. We appreciate it very much, and we hope you have a happy holiday, sir. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Same to you.
You have been listening to a rebroadcast of Straight Talk About Money. The market data in this rebroadcast is not current and should not be used for any financial decisions.